Art thou a king then? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In America, where we are not that used of hearing about kings and queens, for many people, especially the younger ones, a king or a queen sounds more like a fairy tale character or some nicely dressed gentleman or lady which you might see in the news. But if we think what a king really is, the most important mission of his is to be the head of state. God in his wisdom has chosen to assign each nation their own borders, their own place of living, and to supervise the subjects of each nation. Every nation also has a head of state. And traditionally in the world, the head of state has always been a monarch, namely a king, who is set by God to rule the nation he is placed into. Very important principle in the Catholic morality is that all power comes from God. That is, because God is the highest authority in the whole universe. He is the creator of everything, and every single person has to be subject to him. Therefore, whoever is put or placed to rule the diverse nations, he most necessarily receives his power to rule from God. We in modern society, we are so used to the idea that it is the people who assign who rules them, that we often don't think that we as people, we don't really have the power to assign or give authority to whoever is set to rule over us. Whoever is our ruler, he receives his power to rule from God, not from us. It is because of this misunderstanding that many people think that the government or parliament or whichever organs of government each state has, that they can rule or set or legislate laws which are against Catholic religion or morality. The most infamous, of course, being the laws of abortion or the same-sex marriage. And when we oppose these rulings and these evil laws, we must keep our minds clear that in the reason why we oppose this is not our personal opinion or that we think abortion is such a cruel and horrible thing. We oppose it because it goes against the rules and morality of God, and that it is God who is the supreme authority over everyone, not the president, not the Congress, or the mayor, or governor. It is God Almighty, the ruler of heaven and earth. And for us Catholics, we have also been given the head of state, the head of the kingdom of heaven, Jesus Christ, the King. In the old days, whenever somebody showed disloyalty to his home country, it was always an immense shame, and that kind of a person was branded to have been committed a treason. A treason is an evil act when somebody betrays his own country, usually for the benefit of some strange country. And we even nowadays think, which shudder, and with things of infamy, of many infamous treasonists in throughout the whole history. For example, Benedict Arnold, whose name is still held in horror in this country. But when we think, what is the most greatest or the most ultimate act of treason, a Catholic certainly knows an answer that the most despicable act of treason, is if somebody betrays God and Christ the King. In this secular world, there are two kingdoms which are fighting against each other: the kingdom of heaven, headed by Christ the King, and the evil hellish kingdom, headed by the devil. And we, as Catholics, we always must be in rallied with Christ the King and be in battle against evil forces of Satan. If we are not with Christ our King 100%, we are branded as have committed a treason. And the punishment of committing a treason against Christ the King will be much more harsh than a punishment of betraying your home country. When Christ was born into this world, he was not hailed as a king. Instead, all the people of the world, they committed a grave sin of treason by abandoning Christ the King, who always not wanted nothing but best and good to all his subjects throughout the world. What true travesty was crucifixion, and the Jewish nation, the own people of this great king, they did everything they could but to crucify him and put him to death. The Jewish people of our Lord's time, they hated him because he refused to be a conquering Messiah and drove the hated Romans away. The Jews wanted an earthly kingdom, and instead they got the Messiah who preached them that you must be prepared to be gathered in heavenly kingdom, namely by being sorry for your sins and how often you have offended God, your Father and Creator. So much the Jewish nation hated this message and preaching of the Lord that they, who previously had carried so much hatred against the Romans, now suddenly they were clamoring that, that they have no king but Caesar. They, who formerly saw the Romans as cruel conquerors, now they were clamoring themselves as friends of the Caesar. It is very easy for Catholics to be shocked about the abandonment of our Lord by his own nation. But in reality, every time when we put our own wishes or our own desires ahead to that which is the will of God, we are committing a treason, and our treason is much worse than that of Benedict Arnold's. He betrayed his own born birth country, but we betray our Heavenly Father, our Creator, who has always wanted nothing but best and good for us, and instead we return this goodness by a vicious act of ingratitude, namely sin. How much more despicable we are in the eyes of God when we abandon his goodness and think of only our own desires. When Pilate was ready to interrogate our Lord, he was looking at this abandoned and tortured Messiah and speaking to him and asking, "Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and that I have power to release thee?" But Jesus answered, "Thou shouldst not have any power against me unless it were given thee from above." That also puts us in our correct position. We might think that we can get away from sin. We might think that I have power to do whatever I wish to. Who is there to stop me? Certainly not the priests or the rules of the church. And our Lord has given us a clear answer that yes, we do have power to sin, but the punishment of our wickedness will be great and much greater than we could ever imagine. Our Lord has given us free will, but that free will is meant to be used for good and not for evil. Oftentimes, the hardest thing in the life of a Catholic are not the long prayers, are not the long fastings, or the effort what we take in going into sacrifice of the Mass. The hardest thing in a life of being a Catholic is to sacrifice his own will to do that which is God's. And that's why so few people in this world, today's world, they are not interested about religion. They are not interested of making an effort to come to Mass or come to sacraments, because they think that they can get away with everything. And it's true that in this life, you oftentimes can get away with everything. But when the hour of your particular judgment comes, namely at the moment you die, you will be facing Christ the King, who is much more powerful than any mayor, any governor, any senator, or any president, or any earthly king. And it's up to you yourself whether that moment will be a blissful and happy moment of reunion, or will that moment be a horrible and scary hour of judgment. Our Lord is merciful, and he is also just. To the good people who are sorry, he is loving and merciful Father, but to evil people who think only themselves, he is a just and strict judge, like a good judge always is. Dear faithful, any Christian, any Catholic who commits a sin, especially a mortal sin, he speaks and acts just like those blinded Jews, which we horror so much when we read about the Gospel. Every day the choice is also set before us personally. Are we friends of God, or are we friends of Caesar? Every man has to, by necessity, make a choice between those two. And whenever a man consents to sin, whenever that, therefore he chooses that he is a good friend of Caesar, he is, as to say to God, I have compared together your service and that of the devil, and I find that Satan is a better master than you are, and that I can gain more from him than from you. There is the state of soul of a man of sin, and what a terrible punishment is reserved to him. We should always, or at least very often, keep in mind the punishment of the wicked, which will take place at the last judgment, but not in the sense that we should become despaired, or we should become terrified how just judge our Lord is. We should keep in our mind that horrible punishment is reserved for the evil people, those who stay obstinate in their sin, to those who humble themselves, to those who are ready to make the effort, who are ready to make the sacrifice of hearing the Church. To those people, God's saints, our Lord is a loving, peaceful, and good, kind, and gentle ruler, Christ the King. We must and may we always live our life according the idea that we are getting ready to face Christ the King, who welcomes us as a loving Father and a good and kind and mild ruler, instead of a fierce, afraid of judgment and the just and strict judge. It takes a lot and lot of humility in a life of a Catholic to expect this kind of judgment, but to expect meet your Christ the King as your kind Savior, we must be ready to make sacrifices. And no sacrifice, no matter how much effort it takes from us, is never too big for us to make when we think how much our Lord has sacrificed by his work on the cross, and how much goodness and what a great reward he has reserved to us who stay faithful to him in the end. If we stay faithful to God in life, he has promised to stay faithful to us in death. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.